Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach Chamber 360, on October 19th, 2018. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. Joining us today as producer and co-host, president and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber, Mr. Mark Lips, and of course with us because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie. Mark, how are you guys doing today?
Just me right now. Mark is not with us yet.
Yes.
He might be having car trouble this morning. Who knows? But we're going to try him again in a little bit. You know, speaking of, I've had nothing but car trouble the last couple of weeks. Yeah. I have my old Jeep. And I have my almost as old Audi. You know, I have like a 12, 13 year old Audi that I just love. Mm-hmm. Gosh, my battery died last week. I brought it in yesterday to get the battery replaced. Then I found out that I have an oil leak from a valve gasket and a crack in my coolant reservoir. So I'm just dealing with all these silly little car things, you know. So one goes, I have to drive the other, and then the other one goes in the shop, and I have to drive the other one. So, you know, it happens.
Yeah.
You know, with old cars especially. I mean, not that many. Does anybody have an old car anymore? Am I the only person with old cars?
it's rare, but my neighbor across the street, who is a mechanic, tells me that cars made like 10 or 15 years ago just run and run and run, and the new cars just break down all the time.
Oh, I didn't know that.
In particular, we have a 1997 Honda Odyssey van. We love that van, 1997. And he said it runs great because all the other ones, like, you know, 2001 and later, models have tremendous problems with transmissions, apparently.
Interesting.
So we're lucky. We're very lucky.
Interesting. You know, I've been, for the last 4 years, I've had my electric bike, and that's my preferred way to get around. You know, my rule of thumb is anything west of Pacific Coast Highway, I get there by bike. But if I need to, you know, if I'm going grocery shopping or got to pick up the dry cleaning or something where I have to, you know, transport stuff, obviously I have to take a car. I don't drive them anywhere near as much as I used to, you know, but, you know, I still need a car. My Jeep is, you know, strictly, you know, that's just my love. I'm never getting rid of that. That's it, you know, I will have it forever. It's 25 years old. I used to think that was it. Once it was 25 years old, it's considered an antique, you know, whether it was cars or furniture. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're supposed to have Richard Montgomery on this morning to go
right.
through the propositions on the ballot. You can talk about that for a little bit. I'm going to try and get them on the line again, okay?
Okay, I'm going to go through them just like a recorder or, I'm just going to talk to them about the people about what they are. Proposition number one. I'm not sure I really like this whole proposition system. But
all right, well, talk about that. I'll be back.
Okay. It's up to the people of California to vote on these propositions, but really it's up to the people of California to educate themselves about these propositions and not just listen to the ads, because the TV ads are very, very misleading. And anyway, here we go. Prop 1 authorizes bonds
to fund. I just wanted to touch. Mark is with us now, okay?
Hi, everyone.
Great. Hi.
Happy Friday.
Hey, Mark. Yes, happy Friday.
Now,
I was just going to read through the props.
I'm going to work on getting rich.
Right. So, Mark, I'm just reading through the propositions real briefly to give everyone an idea of what the propositions are, and then we're going to be discussing them when Richard joins us. Number one, authorizes bonds to fund specific housing assistance programs, legislative statute. And bottom line is authorizes $4 billion in general obligation bonds for existing affordable housing programs for low-income residents, veterans, farm workers, manufactured and mobile homes, infill and transit-oriented housing, fiscal impact, increased state costs, to repay bonds averaging about $170 million annually over the next 35 years. $170 million annually over the next 35 years. That's what Prop 1 means.
Yep.
A yes.
We also,
vote,
by the way, Prop 1 is also meant to be, and we can talk about this later too, but to be more flexible for our veterans. In other words, if they're in a year-long lease, but they get sent to Iraq or someplace or Afghanistan in 6 months, that they can get out of their lease.
Okay. Oh, okay. That's a wrinkle.
Mm-hmm.
Prop number two authorizes bonds to fund existing housing program for individuals with mental illness. Again, a legislative statute amends Mental Health Services Act to fund No Place Like Home program, which finances housing for individuals with mental illness, ratifies existing law establishing the No Place Like Home program. Fiscal impact allows the state to use up to $140 million per year of county medical health funds to repay up to $2 billion in bonds. These bonds would fund housing for those with mental illness who are homeless. Okay. Interesting.
Didn't we just do that? Isn't that what Measure H was? Didn't we just do that last year?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we can ask Richard about that. So, but we'll just get through these really quickly. So.
All right. I'm still working on that.
I'm trying.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And there are 12. There are 12. So I'm just going to go through them real quick. Prop 3 authorizes bonds, and all of these it seems like are authorizing bonds. We're selling these bonds to people all over the country or the world. I don't know if people outside the U.S. can buy these bonds. Authorizes bonds to fund projects for water supply and quality, watershed, fish, wildlife, water conveyance, and groundwater sustainability and storage initiative statute. Authorizes $8.8 billion in state general obligation bonds for various infrastructure projects, and this is Prop 3, fiscal impact, increased state costs to repay bonds averaging $430 million per year over 40 years. $430 million over 40 years, local government savings for water-related projects, likely averaging a couple hundred million annually over the next few decades. So local.
By the way, these are not bonds they're selling. These are taxes, Joe. These are bonds that we've agreed that have a sunset, and we've agreed to add those into our taxes. It's kind of like a school bond, you know, to pay for a gymnasium. That's what these bonds are. You're not selling the bonds. Okay. You're voting on whether or not you want that tax to pay for those initiatives.
Okay. All right. And number four, Prop 4 authorizes bonds funding construction at hospitals providing children's health care, authorizes $1.5 billion in bonds to be repaid from the state's general fund to fund grants for construction, expansion, and renovation and equipping of qualifying children's hospitals. Fiscal impact, increased state costs to repay bonds averaging about $80 million annually over the next 35 years. Everything's like $100 million annually over the next 40 years. It's just crazy. Here we go. The next one, Prop 5, changes requirements for certain property owners to transfer their property tax base to replacement property. Initiative, constitutional amendment, and statute. Oh, so this is interesting relative to the whole Prop 13 controversies. Removes certain transfer requirements for homeowners over 55, severely disabled homeowners, and contaminated or disaster-destroyed property. Fiscal impact, schools and local governments each would lose over $100 million in annual property taxes early on, growing to about $1 billion per year, similar increase in state costs to backfill school property tax losses. Okay. Very interesting. So this is a prop to circumvent the rising revenues that the state is getting by giving people over 55, severely disabled, and contaminated properties the right to transfer their property tax base instead of having the property tax base increase, therefore owning more money. Number six, eliminates certain road repair. Oh, this one has had a lot of television advertising. Eliminates certain road repair and transportation funding, requires certain fuel taxes and vehicle fees be approved by the electorate. Initiative constitutional amendment. Repeals this, what Prop 6 does is repeals a 2017 transportation law taxes and fees designated for road repairs and public transportation. Fiscal impact, reduced ongoing revenues of $5 billion from state fuel and vehicle taxes that mainly would have paid for highway and road maintenance and repairs as well as transit programs. Okay. We're halfway through. How are we feeling?
I'm following along in my voter guide.
Okay, we're halfway
keep going.
Through. Okay, number seven. Conforms California daylight savings time to federal law. Allows legislature to change daylight savings time period. Basically gives legislature ability to change daylight saving time period to by a two-thirds vote. If changes are consistent with federal law, fiscal impact, this measure has no direct fiscal impact because changes to daylight savings time would depend on future actions by the legislature and potentially the federal government. Okay. So number eight regulates amounts outpatient kidney dialysis clinics charge for dialysis treatment, requires rebates and penalties if charges exceed limit, requires annual reporting to the state, prohibits clinics from refusing to treat patients based on payment source. Fiscal impact, overall annual effect on state and local governments ranging from net positive impact in the low tens of millions of dollars to net negative impact in the tens of millions of dollars. Okay, Prop 8, not hundreds of millions over 40 years. Seems like Prop 8 is interesting. And then Prop 9. Now, Prop 9, I haven't heard a lot about Prop 9.
Because it was taken off the ballot. It was taken off the ballot.
There's no Prop 9.
Oh, so Prop 10, Prop 10 expands local government's authority to enact rent control on residential property. Prop 10 repeals a state law that currently restricts the scope of rent control policies that cities and other local jurisdictions may impose on residential property. Fiscal impact, potential net reduction in state and local revenues of tens of millions of dollars per year in the long term. Depending on actions by local communities, revenue losses could be less or considerably more. So that's Prop 10. And then Prop 11 requires private sector emergency ambulance employees to remain on call during work breaks, eliminates certain employer liability. Law entitling hourly employees to breaks without being on call would not apply to private sector ambulance employees. Fiscal impact, likely fiscal benefit to local governments in the form of lower costs and higher revenues, potentially in the tens of millions of dollars each year. Well, that's interesting. Local governments will get an increase in revenues. Okay, number 12 establishes new standards for confinement of specified farm animals, ban sale of non-complying products. Number 12 establishes minimum requirements for confining certain farm animals. Minimum requirements for confining certain farm animals prohibit sales of meat and egg products from animals confined in non-complying manner. Fiscal impact, potential decrease in state income tax revenues from farm businesses, likely not more than several million dollars annually. State costs up to $10 million annually to enforce the measure. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we have to spend $10 million and we can only make several million back. Okay. That's all the props, at least initially. How do we proceed from here, do you think?
Well, let's go back to Prop 1 and just quickly walk through them, I think. And, you know, maybe Richard will come on the line by that time. I did text him. But this Prop 1, spending $4 billion to help veterans and low-income Californians get access to home loans and lower-cost housing. I mean, if the way I'm, you know, the shortage of that's a big initiative with the state is the shortage of housing for our middle income now. It's turning out to be as well as low income in California in general, but certainly in these big areas where there's a lot of industry and, you know, for instance, the Air Force Base. Those guys have to live. A lot of our people have to live an hour and a half away from where they work because they can't afford to live near where they work. And so it's been a big issue to try to find or incentivize figure out a way to provide this lower housing costs. And then also for veterans to make it much more flexible so that if they get sent off overseas or someplace, they can get out of their agreement. You know, this is, but then again, it's also another, you know, another, we're on the hook for, you know, more money, long-term debt, again,
$170 million over 35
years. Yeah, to solve a
current
problem. Yeah. So, you know, you just have to kind of, I think if, when you're voting on this prop, you know, it's interesting. A lot of these props, I think you have to look at and say, okay, how does this impact me? Where I should vote on the impact to me, not on the impact to California. In other words, we could go to, you know, just to as an example, the Children's Hospital Bonds Initiative. I mean, that's something that I think we can skip through because, I mean, you know, you want to provide services for these kids and have more services available for these kids that are specifically for them. It is a long-term debt, once again, a bond for a 35-year bond. you know, and to increase that, because the, you know, the, like they say, that the majority of our pediatrics is being handled by a handful of institutions, and
right.
So how do they improve
well,
on that?
Before we skip to six, I know you were just
yeah.
using that as an example. So we're still on bond one. So
right.
bond one doesn't raise taxes. All right. So it doesn't raise taxes for the residents of California. It's bonds. So the state would be borrowing, you know,
yep.
by, you know, $4 billion by selling bonds. So
oh, wait, I thought a bond was a tax that they're putting on us, like
well,
like the school.
Well, wait. A bond is an instrument that is sold to other parties, other states, people around the world.
$4 billion,
but we have to pay it back to the tune of $170 million over 35 years.
So
it's a loan.
How does that? Okay, so maybe I need to relook at these. So. Because I was looking at it like a school bond, you know, where we vote on a school bond, and the bond, like a parcel tax, but a school bond where we all agree for the next 10 years to pay an extra X amount of dollars locally to help build the gymnasium.
No.
That's not
no.
what this is.
No.
No. This is no. this is sold no. generally to the market for bonds.
So I could just
bonds
decide
very,
not
very
to buy a bond.
Property.
So I just decide not to buy a bond.
Yeah,
and I mean, then what's the use of having the? Why doesn't? Why do we need to vote on it? Why not just? Why not the
because
state just go out and start selling
these
bonds?
We have to pay $170 million a year for the next 35 years to pay it back.
Okay, so here's what it comes down to: is it's not going to be a tax directly out of our wallets. The state
right.
is going to sell bonds to investors, whatever, whoever wants to buy them.
Right.
But then the state
right.
has to pay it back, $170 million
right.
back annually for the next 35 years. And if the state is paying something back, it eventually comes out of our pocket.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. So does it mean that I'm still going to be taxed, increased taxes?
Increased
well,
burden on the general fund.
Yeah, on the general fund. So,
there's
you know,
a risk. So it's not a definite. There is a risk that my taxes will get raised because whatever emergency or whatever impacts the general fund, all of a sudden they don't have the money to pay that particular
correct.
Bond back.
Okay,
wow.
Keep in mind. Here's the thing. All the money the state has, all the income they make is from us, the taxpayer.
Yeah,
whether it's sales
right.
tax, property
yeah, yeah.
tax, right. So all the money that the state has is our money. That's where they get it from. So eventually, we're going to have to pay back this $170 million annually over the next 35 years. And if the coffers are overflowing, no problem. If we have several major disasters or something, they're going to have to
right.
tax us again. So
which is going to happen. Which is going to happen.
Yes.
So
yes. Yes.
I mean,
so
this
that's
is
that.
A tax.
We're not going to
okay.
say yes. We're not going for or against any of these. We're just giving people information.
Right.
So
to get back to that, as I say, okay, so you have to decide, okay, what's important to me? It's almost like going back once again to the school bonds. You have to say, well, I no longer have kids in school.
Yeah.
So, and that's why in the parcel tax, they said, okay, if you're over 55, you're exempt because they know you don't have kids in the school, except today
right.
now.
Yeah.
Everybody's having babies at 55. Seems like so.
So we're halfway through the show, Mark. I'm not sure we're going to get through all 11
yeah.
if we go at this rate.
Okay,
yeah,
going to have
yeah.
to go faster.
So
let's race through which ones we think are super important. Then I guess.
Well, we'll go through them a couple of times.
Okay.
If we need to do another show and go through them again, we can. You know,
well,
the
League
other
of the League of Women Voters would like to come on the show possibly next week. So,
all right,
we'd love to have them.
Yeah,
yeah.
That would be good.
Diane Wallace.
All right. Well, let's go on to Proposition 2. All right,
Joe? Okay, so what do we think about the so the veterans? Okay, so we're just going to state the facts. All right.
We're not going to offer
opinions.
We can't. We don't have time.
I know. Okay.
All right, let's go to number two.
Number two.
Joe.
Well, I already read what number two is. It's bonds to fund existing housing program for individuals with mental health, mental illness. What else do we want to say about it? Facts, Mark?
Okay. A yes on that vote means that the state could use existing county mental health funds to pay for housing for those with mental illness or homeless. Now, what that's saying is that they can take, you know, the state is famous for saying we're gonna add a half a cent tax that's gonna go to this, but then it doesn't go to that. You know, so you know, this is another one of those things that you're kind of saying, okay, yeah, go ahead, you can do that, but then it doesn't necessarily mean that they're gonna do it.
Well, also, the question you have to ask is, it putting money into the? I mean, one of the questions you have to ask is, first of all, is this a local issue and not a state issue? Two, is this just putting money into developers' pockets to build? And then
possibly, yeah.
You know, I mean, so there's a lot of questions to ask on that.
Well, the con on this is they're going to take up to $5.6 billion away from the severely mentally ill to fund bonds to build them just housing without requiring treatment.
Treatment
will force,
no.
That's the con on it. Without requiring treatment, will force many more into homelessness.
I think that's what we call loony bins.
Well, the thing is we don't have them anymore. You know, back in the day, we used to have facilities that would house the mentally ill. You know, so that the police could, you know, take them off the streets, put them into facilities, and then get treatment. Now we don't really have those. Hospitals can only hold them for 72 hours.
Right.
Again, as I mentioned last year, didn't we just agree for a tax for billions of dollars to house the homeless? So
I think this is what's coming out of this too, is the fact that Janice Hahn's been a big proponent of this, that we need to expand our disability to include homelessness, so it can be more than the 72 hours, that they can actually, I hate to use the word enforce, but to enact treatment for these guys. You know, right now, like you say, mentally ill, not taking the meds, whatever, 72 hours, back out on the street. You know, and you're kind of, you don't have any recourse. We need to expand the disability to include homeless, because right now it doesn't. The Disability Act doesn't include homeless.
Yeah, well, as
or
I said,
disability definition doesn't include homeless, where you can keep them beyond 72 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, again, the con on this is they say it's unnecessary because last year the legislature authorized county use of MHSA funds for housing without the need to borrow money.
Yep.
Right.
And it's still sitting there. That $500 million or $900 million now is just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they built 48 units in downtown LA. They spent like $4 million to build 48 units. So
I'm
right,
trying not to weigh in. I'm trying not to weigh in.
I know. I have a hard time with it too. Joe, we're going to go to number three.
Number three authorizes bonds to fund projects for water supply and quality, watershed, fish, wildlife, water conveyance, and groundwater sustainability and storage. What do we think?
Well,
what are the facts?
Well, it says here a yes vote on this measure means the state could sell $8.9 billion in bonds in general obligation bonds to fund various water and environmental projects. A no vote means the state could not sell $8.9 billion in general obligation bonds to fund various water projects. The arguments, yes on three, secure safe, reliable, and clean water for California. Don't we already have that?
In all cases.
Yeah. Here's the thing. And a lot of people, because we've gone over these propositions in legislative affairs too, a lot of this, Proposition 3, one of the things that people worry is this more of a special interest proposition?
Yes.
In other words,
yes.
Exactly. So your call.
It says your yes on 3 provides water for people, farms, and the environment. That's a little general for me, and I know that
that is a little general. Provides water for the environment?
I don't know.
Oh,
that sounds
God.
Like special interest to me.
Yeah, it does sound. And the con is Prop 3 gives money to lots of organizations. That's the whole idea. But it will not produce one drop of new usable water.
Right.
Interest payments on the bottle.
I am going to say something. I would rather put the money towards stormwater and all of those other things that are driving pollutants and chemicals from the runoff of these farms that they're using into our city and our oceans. So
it doesn't say anything about stormwater here.
Nothing.
It says improves water quality in our oceans, bays, and rivers. Oh, and it says, and captures, treats, and reuses stormwater. Oh, it says that here, and that's in the pro argument. So, but that, but provides water for people, farms, and the environment does sound like special interest. And we have to remember, who puts together all these propositions? It's special interest groups, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So just keep that in mind. Yeah. Okay, go on to number four, Joe.
Number four authorizes bonds funding construction at hospitals providing children's health care. $1.5 billion in bonds. Pretty minimal amounts compared to these other props. $1.5 billion in bonds, which will require the state to pay back $80 million over the next 35 years.
I think you also have to remember, though, that, Joe, that you know, once you get through the 11 – go back and look at the ones that you're interested in and add all those up. And in the aggregate, what is that total number? Whether it's, you know, then you're going to go, holy cow.
One, number one, has to pay back $170 million annually.
And so even if this is $84
million. $80 million, we got to add it up. At the end, we can add it all up, you know.
Yeah.
But so a yes vote on this measure means the state could sell $1.5 billion general obligation bonds for the construction, expansion, renovation, and equipment of certain hospitals that treat children. Now, that's very vague. Does that include St. Jude's Children's Hospital? Is that Children's Hospital? I mean, we don't know what qualifying hospitals are.
Well, that's the thing. I'm wondering, is the state selling bonds for private for-profit hospitals?
Well, no, these are not for profit. These are nonprofits, like St. Jude in particular. All children's hospitals that take patients, regardless of their ability to pay, are nonprofits.
Well, Joe, it says equipping of qualifying children's hospitals, but it doesn't tell us what the qualifying is.
No, it does not. But all the children's hospitals that we know of, generally speaking, that take patients, regardless of their ability to pay, are nonprofits.
Okay, so all the children's hospitals are nonprofit. Okay.
Okay. So
I mean, if we know that.
The pro argument is California Children's Hospitals, not the specific one, provide specialized care for over 2 million sick children each year, no matter what families can pay. 85% of children with leukemia are cured. Proposition 4 increases capacity, provides the latest technology, advances pediatric research to cure more children. Okay, Proposition 4, the con is Proposition 4 would authorize the state to borrow $1.5 billion for construction and expansion at nonprofit children's hospitals by selling bonds that would need to be repaid with interest. Yeah. We should look at the bigger picture and ask how to improve health care outcomes in California. So,
I just want to comment on what you just read, Jackie, is nonprofit is in quotes. Because we have administrators making $150,000 a year salaries, we have marketing. There are expenses, obviously, that these nonprofits, quote unquote nonprofits, have, but they don't have shareholders to increase profits for. They do not.
Right. The only thing, every hospital treats children. Number one. You know, it's not just children's hospital. Every hospital treats children. So, again, I want to know where this is coming from.
It sounds like a special interest to me.
Well, but then again, it's hard to walk away from treating our kids. If our kids need it, education, kids, but like to Jackie's point, where is it coming from? Who's driving this?
Mark, that's the thing. Whenever
if it's big pharma, you're going, okay.
Yeah, If any, you know, I am wary the anytime somebody puts children like that first, whatever
right.
it is, you know,
right.
anytime
right.
people do that, because we all feel for the children, we all feel for the little sick
right.
children. So anytime
right.
anybody starts that it's for the kids, my guard gets up because I want to know where it's coming
right.
from. So
right.
I'm gonna pile on here and say, you know, Big Pharma loves these nonprofit children's hospitals, nonprofit cancer hospitals, because Big Pharma has loopholes such that they can try out new, unproven, experimental treatments in
yeah.
these locations. And so Big Pharma loves these projects because it allows them to try on humans things that they couldn't normally try, according to all the loopholes they've gotten through Congress.
To try,
you know, something
things?
Interesting.
Okay.
You know,
yeah,
you know, it's interesting. I'm looking at all this quick reference guide, and every single one of them says put on ballot by the legislature or put on ballot by petition signatures, which tells me nothing.
Well,
you know,
well
the legislature I get, legislature, but petition signatures. But who is behind
right.
it? Who came up with the idea
right.
of?
Right.
The legislature, obviously, no. There's two or three of them that got on by legislature. So that's your government
and that could
officials.
Be, that could be special interests. So, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that's true. So yeah. We're all very cynical, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, that's because we've been around the block a couple of times. So.
Yeah, true.
Thank you.
True.
All right, Prop 5.
Prop 5. Proposition 5 changes requirements for certain property tax or property owners to transfer their property tax base to replacement property. Initiative, constitutional amendment, and statute. Now, just a quick note on this. What this means practically, if you own a property, it means that you are able to transfer your property tax base. Essentially, you cannot be charged additional property taxes on a replacement property if you're over 55, if you're severely disabled, and so forth and so on. Jackie, read us what the vote means.
Okay, so, well, a yes on that vote, a yes on this measure means that all homeowners who are over 55 or who meet other qualifications would be eligible for property tax savings when they move to a different home. Now, a no vote means certain homeowners who are over 55 or who meet other qualifications would continue to be eligible for property tax savings when they move to a different home. Now a yes means all, a no means certain.
Right.
But now the pros, all right, Prop 5 eliminates the moving penalty, in quotes, that
right.
currently hurt seniors severely disabled, okay? And they're saying that they can purchase a new primary residence and not face this property tax penalty.
Right.
The con, Property 5 doesn't build any new housing or help first-time home buyers purchase homes. It will cut up to $1 billion in local revenue from public schools, fire, police, health care. This is you're right. It has to do with – it's a way around
Prop 13.
Prop 13, yeah.
Prop 13, everyone understands Prop 13 to have limited the government's ability to raise property taxes, but there were certain loopholes, like you can't leave your property. You can't, you know, sell your home, buy a new one, and expect to move your property tax base. Statute says you can.
Well, it's going to, as I said, it's going to cut up to $1 billion in local revenues, public schools, fire, police, health care, and other services for tax breaks for wealthy Californians and to help its authors' corporate real estate interests. That's the no
right.
on Prop 5 people.
Right.
You know,
so it's like
as
this.
Far as I'm concerned, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, this, for instance, and being 55 or older, I'm almost for this, you know, but it's if someone has a lower property tax rate in San Luis Obispo and moves
right.
to Manhattan Beach,
right.
they get to keep their tax rate. And
right.
our number one, if you look at it just Manhattan Beach, our number one source of revenue is property taxes. And
right.
Now, you have to weigh Manhattan Beach. It's more probably that the 55-year-old here is moving out, and then would take that tax rate within California, by the way. If you move out of state, it doesn't apply. Within California, but the person coming in and buying your home is at the current rate. And
they are.
Current property taxes. So
unless they're 55 and older.
Right.
No, this is about moving a tax base.
No, no,
it's
but
not
if
about
someone moves
a new home.
But no, but what she's saying is I can be over 55 and move out, and the person coming in buying my house can be over 55 moving in. And
the person moving in does not have a property tax base to move. They will be taxed at the new rate for that property.
Not necessarily.
Not if they're 55. This is a
That's terrible. We don't want to freeze property taxes at 1970 levels. It'll kill the state's revenues. Property tax
It depends where they're moving from. What Mark was just saying. Say they're moving. Yeah. Well, San Luis Obispo is probably expensive too. But let's say you go out to maybe the high desert or something. So if somebody is moving from the high desert to Manhattan Beach, and their property tax rate would stay the same, but which I don't really understand. Well,
how much of an impact is that really going to be? I know we're going into the largest senior citizen population the world's ever seen, but how much of an impact is it really going to be? Plus, then you peel the curtain away a little bit further, and I don't want to repeal, I'll say it, you know, Prop 13. I want Prop 13 to stay there for me. And I'm only, and this is totally selfish.
Your vote is. So everybody's vote is totally selfish. We vote for what's best for us, you know.
Yeah. That's democracy. Everyone, or
at least grandfather me or something. But, you know, I don't need my at 62 years of age and limited income, my property taxes to go up dramatically. I don't need that to happen.
I look at Prop 5 as Prop 13 version 2.0. I look at Prop 5 as Prop 13 2.0. This gives additional power to the individual to carry their existing property tax base with them.
Right.
Okay, I have a question for you. Okay, say that, I'm in the South Bay now.
Right.
What if I decide to move out to the high desert? And it's a higher – my original one is a higher tax rate than what's in the desert.
You get to choose. No, you get to choose. You can pay the new property tax rate out in the desert if it's cheaper. You don't have to pay – you don't have to carry your tax rate.
Yeah, I don't think anybody – yeah.
You just get
a
choice.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right.
I think that has to be the lesser of the two, you know, so –
Well, again, if it's going to be losing, the fiscal impact is on the schools. It would lose over $100 million in annual property taxes. So where is that money going to come from? You know, the money has to come from someplace. So, you know, they're saving a big swath of people on property taxes, but that money has to be replaced for something. So where is that money coming from? Yeah. Again, I'll repeat it again. Yeah. All the money that the government has is ours. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
So, and that's where they get their funding from, us. So the money has to be replaced somewhere. All right. Let's go to
Number six eliminates certain road repair and transportation funding, requires certain fuel taxes and vehicle fees that were approved by the electorate. So we know that it requires certain fuel taxes and vehicle fees be approved by the electorate. Jackie, what does this vote mean?
We all know about Prop 6 because this is the one that has been you listen to any kind of talk radio and the people basically last year the governor took it upon himself to sign in to regulation tax increase and registration, was it? And everybody is up in arms in this because they couldn't put that on a ballot because they knew the people would not vote for it. So he just did an executive order, okay? So we're paying more in taxes and registration for our roads, all right? There was a big petition gathering effort, and they got it on the ballot. The most important thing in this is if you vote no, the legislature would continue not to need voter approval for new or increased state fuel and vehicle taxes in the future. That's the most important thing that you need to know, that they couldn't willy-nilly just say, hey, we're doing this on an executive level. That's the most important thing you need to need there. Right now, as it stands, they can hike our fuel tax registration whenever they want. What this is doing is repealing it, what they did last year, and telling them, no, you can't do this without our approval. So, again, it all comes back to, do you want the state to have more control of your money? That's what it comes down to, you know? They're saying that the pro argument is they're saying voting yes on 6 to immediately lower gas prices. That's what the pro argument is. Vote yes on Proposition 6 to repeal the unfair regressive gas and car tax increase and require voter approval for any future increase. So vote yes on Prop 6 for lower gas prices. The con is that it jeopardizes the safety of bridges and roads. Now, again, we have had so many taxes put on us for road repair infrastructure that – money has been taken out of those accounts and used for everything else. The same thing with the schools. You know, they put up these bond measures for schools or taxes for schools, and the money doesn't get to where they say it's going to go. They can take out here for this and that. So, you know, again.
I'm glad we're not taking sides on these things.
Yeah,
I know.
Completely nonpartisan. Nonpartisan.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's the unfortunate, regardless of which way, one of the unfortunate things on this, to repeal this, it was a 27-cent increase, right? To repeal that 27-cent tax, there have been already a lot of infrastructure and projects that are been budgeted with this money, the rental car facility over at LAX, the train to nowhere. No, not that. The metro stuff going through Hawthorne and all of that. A part of that money is all going to developing those. So if it's repealed, where's the money going to come from that's already been budgeted from that 27-cent increase into those funds? So you're kind of between a rock and a hard place in some ways, because they'll then get that money from you some other way.
Mm. Well, again, first off, you shouldn't be budgeting stuff that you know is not the money's not going to be there.
The money,
you know,
they were budgeting because it was 20. They had the increase. This is a repeal of the increase. So if they had the increase, they were budgeting on that 27 cents. So the budget was for money that they assumed would be there before this proposition came out.
Yes, but it was a bad thing to do that. I mean, they just had no business hiking the tax on that.
That's my point, regardless on the process that made it happen. Unfortunately, we're in the middle of projects that are being funded by that 27 cents. And, you know, what happens there? Where do those guys get the money? Is there going to be emergency funds that are going to be all of a sudden pulled out of the general fund? So therefore, the $84 million we needed for children's hospitals or whatever, and we're back to where
what it all comes down to is we need more accountants in government, not attorneys. We need people that actually understand a budget. Like, you can only bring in so much money to spend so much money. You can't spend money that you don't have, hoping that you're just going to, assuming in the future, we'll just tax them more.
Right.
You know,
well,
you just can't do that.
That's what, you know, Ben Franklin said it. Taxing and spending is not the answer, you know.
No, not at all.
You've got to, look, it's like, undergrounding here in the city. Wouldn't everybody love to have these wires underground? Absolutely. But we should have thought about that 50 years ago, 40 years ago, where some people did do it, but we elected not to do it, I guess, in some areas. And, you know, so we need to be more thinking way out there, you know.
Well, Mark, the thing with undergrounding, okay, just for undergrounding, you know, that could be like a school bond where the city says, hey, you want underground? We're going to put an extra 2 cents or 2%, whatever, on your tax bill. And once it's done, it's over. And
I agree.
You pay it off and it's over.
I
yeah.
agree. But my point being, like getting rid of the red car line because of the auto companies' lobbying efforts
yeah.
in the 60s. Don't you wish now we still had that sort of infrastructure
yeah.
there that we could upgrade? That'd be a lot less expensive than building a new infrastructure so that we can get cars off the road. You know, things like that.
I agree. You know? People don't think long. Most people don't like think long term. And again, the lobbyists. You know.
And I thought we put something in the ballot. I thought the last election we put something in there that said money earmarked for specific projects had to go to those projects. Didn't we put some sort of legalese or didn't
yeah.
we?
Yeah.
I thought we did that.
It never happens that way. You,
I know.
You think that the money
they should all be arrested. They should all be arrested. You know, this should be the Me Too and legislators says what? This should be the WTF generation, you know, and they get arrested and their career's ruined because it's the WTF, you know.
No, see, Mark, here's the thing. The money that they collect from us in taxes and registration, whatever, you know, it goes into these accounts. It doesn't just sit there collecting interest. They're using it for everything, saying, oh, we'll pay it back. And they don't pay it back. And, you know, there's something else pops up. One thing, you know, that train to nowhere thing, which it hasn't even started, and the budget has just skyrocketed. I mean, I don't even know.
I love what someone said. What was the latest? What did they say? $77 billion.
Oh, I think it's
something
way
like
more than
that. Is what they now need. It's really just ballooned out of control. Someone made it the other day. Which, I mean, we were in a legislative affairs, or I was in some meeting, a regional meeting. And someone said, "Man, $77 billion. I mean, with $5 billion, I could give every public school in California all the stuff they needed. You know,
yeah.
With $5 billion, I could build all the housing or create programs that you know to help our children in whatever need, or to help our homeless, or to help or whatever." You know, and that's only $10 billion of the $77 billion.
I know.
Unbelievable! Unbelievable!
It's insane. It's insane. Again.
And where am I going? First of all, for me, how is this impacting me? And boy, are we off on a tangent. But how is this impacting me? I still have to drive to that train or Uber to that train to get it to go 80 miles, and then I get off or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
400 mm-hmm. miles. I mean, it's just one hop. It's not going to impact my life. It's not going to impact me. It's not going to allow me to get somewhere sooner. I could still go and get on an airplane and fly to San Francisco probably quicker than I could drive to where I catch the train, and then I take it, and then I get off. You know, I mean,
Strictly special interests that are doing this. It's whoever in the Central Valley, you know, they want it. But nobody's going from Stockton to San Francisco. I just it's a bunch of farms out there. So they're obviously
that's what I mean.
Interest.
If I'm going to drive to Stockton, yeah. I'm going to go ahead and drive the rest of the way to San Francisco.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So, I'm glad we're not taking sides on this.
Well, the thing is, and you know, Stockton is considered. I mean, I came out of TV. We all have our markets, TV markets in the country. Stockton is considered part of the San Francisco market. So how is that helping us in L.A.? The San Francisco the TV stations that people in Stockton watch are San Francisco stations. So this is a San Francisco – it's almost like we're giving $77 billion to San Francisco to create some sort of a mass transportation system.
And it's not a mass transportation
system. Commuter.
Transportation. But again, I think it's more for cattle. I think it's more to move cattle.
Might be.
I don't think
you can see the ears pinned back on those cattle going 250 miles an hour. Holy cow.
You know, it's again,
sticking their heads out the window. Woo!
Oh boy, we really needed an impartial person on this show to talk about. Well, all I can say is that since we've thrown impartiality out the window.
Yes.
I signed all of those.
Well, but
petitions.
I think we're on two sides, you know, but that Prop 6 is, there's a reason why it's a lightning rod right now, is because it's almost residents versus business. You know, you've got your truck drivers the trucking companies who are now paying all this addition. I mean, they just threw their budgets out of whack. And you've got these people who have used that money already in their budget, have that money in their budget to build out these rental car facilities at LAX, to do the metro line going through from LAX into Hawthorne and Torrance and all of that. And now if this is repealed, they've got to scramble to find the money. Where are they going to find the money? You got to believe the state government's going to find a way because it's too big to fail. That rental car facility is too big to fail, as is the metro, and they'll somehow get that out of me somewhere along the line.
Well, you know, this is what it's going to come down to is, you know, the government, you know, all these a couple of hundred and whatever years that we've been a country, you know, they say, hey, you know, we really need this. And they put the tax out and people understand, yeah, we need roads and bridges and trains and what have you. But then it gets to the point where, again, back to schools that, you know, we've been taxed on this before, and we still have potholes and the freeways are still parking lots. And, again, we know the money isn't getting where it needs to go because of a lot of special interests. What if this is going to come down to, seriously, because of Prop 6, I think from this point on, anytime any government, whatever level, you know, local, regional, state, tries to do something without people's approval, we're gonna have to end up voting on every single thing.
See, that's so once again, our backs are against the wall because you want to send that message to the legislature. I mean, you really do. You don't do this without our approval. You work for us, and then but then again, if I had to pick them coming and finding another way to pay for the metro and all these projects that have been started and the infrastructure and all that, I would rather have some control over it. And by having a 27-cent gas tax, I have control because I can decide to ride my bike or do some other form of transportation where I'm not paying that 27 cents. Incentivizes me to create other things, to find other ways to get around. And I can kind of control that increase for myself. If they tax me just outright in some way that I can't control, then, you know, I'm paying more money.
Again, Mark, they're going to get you one way or another, because if enough of us stop buying gas and riding our bikes, the money's not going to be flowing in, and they're going to say, okay, we need to figure out another way to get more income.
Right.
Again, what it comes down to is government has never been good at managing money. Because it's not their money. It's not coming out of their pockets.
Right.
It comes out of our pockets, and they get it, and they just have these piles of money sitting around. They're like, okay, what are we going to do with this money? And we have special interests, and we have powerful lobbies that know how to work their magic to get what they want and use our money for their special interests. This has been going on forever.
That's Bill Moyer said the biggest problem from when he was with the administration back in the late 60s versus today, he said, we're too heavy at the top and too much money involved.
There's way too much fat. Yeah.
Yeah, a lobby.
And we have to.
I mean, one of the famous stories. The story was that they sent $10 million to Afghanistan for a project, and no one could find the $10 million. It was sent over there, but no one could find it. And they said, what the heck, we'll get another $10 million. You know, I mean, it's not their checkbook. And so they're just figuring, we'll skim the taxes and get another $10 million later. I mean, $10 million.
Again, as I said, too many lawyers, not enough accountants.
Yeah.
And this show is over. We got to have the propositions.
Jackie, we could agree to finish the props. The show doesn't
have
to end.
No, No,
yeah.
Because if anybody's listening, they're just going to get cut off. So, but we should get the League of Women Voters on maybe next week.
Yeah, I'm going to call. Diane hasn't gotten back to me because I told her I wanted to have her on. She was going to be – she'd moved her schedule around to be on today, and I said, oh, sorry, I already scheduled Richard Montgomery, which, you know. But I said maybe next week, and then I haven't heard back. So I'll give her a call. You know, there's something we should do that'd be really fun next time is with these props, and maybe that's something we could do next week if we had. It's just that we'd have to be really succinct. Is have a pro and con.
Is that possible?
Person,
I don't know.
If that's possible. But to have a have we'll use a timer. No, we'll use a timer and we'll divide the hour by 11. You know, less divided by 12, so we have our opening, but. And we have a pro and con. Each person gets 2 minutes to present their pro, and the other guy gets 2 minutes to present the con. And it'd be interesting to see how that.
I don't think we'll get through it any other way.
Yeah. Right. Well, no, I agree. Well, you know what? Well, that's the other thing too. And right now we have the time to do it. We've gotten through six, right? So maybe next week we go through the others. And
seven through 12.
So we do multiple shows to get through the props. And maybe we do the pro and con. And we do multiple shows.
We have to start all over. We can start all over.
Well, no, we've got next week, and then we've got got the election, right?
Yeah.
Or do we have one more Friday?
No, one more Friday. One more.
So we have two more Fridays after this we could spend on election stuff, which I think would be great.
All right. All right. Sounds good to me. All right. We got to wrap it up.
Okay.
We got to wrap it up. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're talking California ballot propositions 2018. And I think we're going to continue next week. Have we agreed?
Let's continue the next 2 weeks leading up to the election. So please join us.
Yep.
This is going to be fun.
Yeah,
and
it's going to be fun, and we're going to want callers to call in. You're not going to have a lot of time, but we want to hear your opinion. The phone number is 714-242-5288. You're going to hear that next week and the week after. We're going to have you call
I
in.
I don't know that we should have. I don't know that we should have callers.
Have callers. You can. It's up to us if we want to.
You can always cut them on. You can always hang up
now. Okay. All right.
So it's no problem.
Get out the key. All right.
Yep. All right. You can always get out the hook, whatever the hook
is.
Yeah,
the hook. Yeah.
Thank you, Mark Lips, with the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. Thank you for joining us today.
And thank you, Joe. Happy Friday. Have a great weekend.
Happy Friday, man. And thank you, Jackie.
Joe. Props to you, baby.
Hey, just wanted to mention I'm going to the Ragin' Cajun Music Festival tomorrow. So,
you know, I'm thinking, you know, I have a completely open day tomorrow. I'm thinking about doing that.
Oh, yeah, you should.
Will you text me? Are you going with John?
Yeah, we're going with John.
Oh, that'd be cool. So text me when you're going to go.
All right, yeah, we have to decide that.
Okay.
Probably because it's an all day thing, so we'll probably go mid afternoon or something.
Yeah,
let me know.
I think I may ride my bike over there and hang. That'll be fun.
All right. Well, if you are, make sure you buy a ticket now because they'll probably sell out at the door.
Okay.
Okay.
I will. All right, guys.
All right, everybody.
Have a great day.
All right. Bye.
Bye.